Shalom Aleichem. Today in Mishnah Yomiland, we're finishing up chapter 3 of Avodah Zarah and starting chapter 4. Let's pick it up in Avodah Zarah, chapter 3, Mishnah Yud. Ketzod mevotlah. How is an idol nullified? Yesterday we mentioned there's no pidyon, no redemption for the value of idolatrous items baked into the bread or the like, but it turns out somebody, and we'll see who, can nullify an idol, making it no longer an idol. So for example, by the Asherah tree we've been talking about, Kirsem, he cuts off dry twigs, Vizered, or he cuts off the moist twigs, and here he's doing it not to trim the tree to beautify the Asherah, make a nicer Asherah, he's doing it because he wants some firewood or toothpick, or Nato Mimenu Makil O Sharvit. He takes a staff or a stick off the tree for his own personal use, not to do any benefit for the tree. Afilu ala, even if he takes one leaf off an asherah and he just wants that leaf for personal use, hareze betela. It is now nullified. The non-Jew is treating this asherah tree like something that's chulin, like something that has no kedusha. Like we saw in the bathhouse recently, if everyone's, you know, going to the bathroom in front of the statue of Aphrodite, they're obviously not treating it like a sacred idol. And the Mishnah notes a chiluk, a distinction, shefoya litzarka, he smoothed out or scraped the bark off this asherah for its own needs, you know, to make it grow better, to make it look prettier, asura. It's still an asherah, it's still an idol, and it's still forbidden as a avodah zarah. But shelo litzarka, he scrapes it off because he wants the bark for himself, muteret. He's now nullified this asherah by treating it like something, you know, something normal, not something holy, and it is allowed. So this is one of the amazing instances where a non-Jew, a pagan, has more power than a Jew does. Obviously, a Jew can grind up an idol and throw it into Yam HaMelech, throw it into the sea, as we've seen, but the non-Jew can even treat an idol like it's nothing, and it becomes like nothing. It's beautiful. So let's go on to chapter 4. Rabbi Yishmael Omer, Shlosh Avonim, you find three stones, Zo, Betzad, Zo, and they're all next to each other. Betzod Markulis, and they're next to a Markulis. Now, Markulis is also a pile of stones. Now, what Rabbi Yishmael is saying, if there's a pre-existing pile of stones that's called a Markulis or a Mercury, we actually mentioned this back in chapter 7 of Sanhedrin. We actually mentioned back then that when the Muslims, when our cousins go on Hajj, they actually throw stones at a pile of stones, and it was my theory that maybe some pagan tricked them into doing that 1,000 years ago, and they simply don't learn the Mishnah Yomi, so they don't know any better. So a pile of stones was a Markulis, a Mercury, and they used to worship it by throwing more stones at it to make a bigger pile of stones. If there's already a Markulis, a pile of stones that's being worshipped in this manner, and you find a new mini Markulis, potentially, a pile of three stones kind of nearby, asurot. That's asur according to Rabbi Yishmael. But shtaim, if it's just two stones, mutarot. And even Rabbi Yishmael says, that doesn't really mean anything. Those are just random stones, as long as they're not right next to the existing Markulis, and so we know they didn't fall off of that. The Chochamim Omrim, the other sages say, not like Rabbi Yishmael, they say, Shenirot imo, if these stones are seen along with the original Markulis, meaning within four amot, or you can tell that they just rolled off of the original one, asurot. These are usur as Markulis stones, She'ein Nirot imo mutarot. If the stones are more than four amot away, and you can tell they didn't come off of the original Markulis, then they're just regular stones, and there's no prohibition on them. Yishar kochachem, tizkud the mitzvahs.